budget. And this morning we have listed on the agenda Commissioner Tom Hansen, Jim Showalter, the Deputy Commissioner, and Kristen Dibdahl, the Budget Director, as well as Kathy Cardell, an Assistant Commissioner. And I guess for two of you, we have to say congratulations. I don't know if people noticed when I listed those off the new titles, but there's been a bit of reorganization within the department as a result. Was it Commissioner Retirement? Or when the vacancy became open, was it a retirement?
No, she went to the Bush Foundation.
Oh, Bush Foundation. Okay. So at any rate, a change in role for a couple of the people at least. So, Commissioner Hansen, topic is this morning, as you know, cash flow, or Mr. Showalter, whoever is going to lead off with the update, and all of us have the overhead information that you prepared, the charts and graphs.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for the record. My name is Jim Showalter. I'll get used to saying Deputy Commissioner sometime soon, but for now, with the Minnesota Management and Budget, with me is Charlie Bielek, Director of Budget Operations, and we've given you a handout here that summarizes some information on the state's cash flow, updates you on information that's previously been given to the LCPFP, and are ready to answer any questions that you might have about this material.
Mr. Chairman, let's go through this snapshot.
Representative Solberg, that's what the intent was to go through the snapshot. That's why I referenced it, if you would.
The
charts and graphs.
The snapshot that you see on the bottom of the first page is information that is formatted identically to what we've provided to the ALCPFP before. It gives you a really good single look at all of the state, the cash that the state controls, and that is noted as the total invested treasurer's cash. That's that top line in sort of the grayed out area. It's at $4.7 billion. Within that are a number of different resources, including pension assets and other things that are constitutionally dedicated funds, but mostly pension assets and other things that are outside of the control of the commissioner for managing the day-to-day business of the state. Those funds that are really accessible are known as the statutory general fund, and that's in the next line down, shown as about $1.1 billion. Within that statutory general fund are quite a few funds, but some of the major funds are listed below that, including the general fund, health impact fund, so on and so forth, down to the bottom. That first column shows you the balance as of April 6th. So you'll see in the general fund, for instance, $239 million. That's great. It has a positive balance. It should have a positive balance. We transfer money between funds in order to make sure that there's cash on hand to pay obligations as they come up. As you see in the next column, part of the reason, in fact, a large portion of the reason that the general fund has $239 million is that there was $1.05 billion in inter-fund borrowing. What that essentially means is we took cash out of other funds and moved it to the general fund so that that continued to have a positive balance. That cash will be repaid this fiscal year. The funds that made the lending still earn interest on those funds, but it is necessary to make sure that the general fund is able to go through its cyclical high points and low points and still have cash on hand throughout the course of the year. The far right-hand column is the payment delays. There you see that $416 million is our estimate of the impact of the administrative and statutory authorities that were provided to the commissioner, primarily in delaying K-12 payments to school districts, and that has an impact of $416 million on the general fund as well. So as you look across again, $239 million is the current balance, but it owes about $1.05 billion to other funds and owes about $416 million that's going to be repaid in the next coming months.
Could you, now you mentioned that 416, and you referenced the school districts. Any other payment delays that you should identify there, Mr. Bielek?
Mr. Chairman, members, the three things that are included in the payment delays are, to date, $337 million was delayed from the two school aid payments in March. On March 15th and March 30th. $52 million was delayed in the March payment to the University of Minnesota.
What was that number again? 30? Pardon? Or 52?
Okay. $52 million was the one payment delayed to the University of Minnesota, and a total of about $26 million is being delayed in terms of sales and corporate tax refunds.
Okay, and I've asked this question before, so we're still paying vendors in a timely manner?
Yeah, yes, Mr. Chair, absolutely. Refunds are also being made on a timely basis from income taxes, that is. As Mr. Bielek mentioned, some of the sales tax and corporate refunds are being delayed.
Yeah, and now under the law, they have to be paid within or refunded
90
with 90 days. And how close are we to the 90 days?
Mr. Chairman, members, nothing is being held more than the allowable limit. So nothing is incurring interest. Everything is paid within the 90-day limit.
Yeah, but my question, Mr. Bielek, was, you know, are we paying in 30, 60, 85 days? What's the time range there? How are we going to the near maximum of the 90 days, or are we relatively close doing it within 30 days? I don't remember what the history was there. I think it was a pretty fast turnaround, if I recall from earlier testimony, when the economy was better. But
Mr. Chairman,
what are we typically doing now?
The instruction to the Department of Revenue is to hold them the maximum amount of time without incurring interest. This varies by date of submission, type of return, and a number of other factors. So not everything is held the full 90 days. They are paid, however, before they incur interest.
Yeah, that I understand, before you would you're paying interest, but you're holding them, you said, most of them, many of them, the full 90 days then?
Mr. Chairman, that is correct.
Okay, that's what I was trying to find out. Okay, thank you. Representative Solberg.
Mr. Chairman, and to understand the full inner agents or inner fund borrowing, would I take and add up the 1050, mm-hmm. the 416, and then the 100, 385, 200, and 365, is that correct? Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Chair, Representative, no, the full interfund borrowing would just be that column, which would net to zero. The payment delays are essentially different than the interfund borrowing, but it is an obligation of the state. It's a delay in payments. It's essentially a borrowing from those school districts, but not an interfund, not interfund.
So, but the total amount, Mr. Chair, the total amount that's borrowing would be that column that says interfund borrowing. Would mm-hmm. I add up all those numbers?
If you added up the interfund, that $1,050,000,000 and the 416, you'd basically see the total amount that's being borrowed from the general fund or being delayed. And so you see about $1,004,000,000 in obligations of the general fund that still need to be paid back.
But, Mr. Chair, the other ones have negative numbers on
right.
them. Right. So what does that mean?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, Representative, those are the sources. So in the interfund borrowing,
okay.
those are the funds that are actually giving the general fund
I see.
The
okay.
cash. So if you added them all up, they'd go to zero.
So our total amount that is being either delayed in payments or borrowed is a total of 1.2?
1.4.
Mr. Chair, Representative, would be the
1.4?
Yeah, 1.466.
Thank you.
Senator Pogona.
Are we on page 2 yet or not?
No, we're still we're still on page 1.
I'm on page 2 now.
We were
turn the page.
Okay,
we went over what the 416 was, and it was school districts 337, U of M 52, and sales and corporate 26. And we did, or I did ask, and apparently with the refunds for sales and corporate, they're going up to the legal maximum, which is 90 days. They're delaying them. The vast majority, I think, would be a fair characterization. You're going up the maximum 90 days.
Then just a general question.
Senator Pogba.
So would one want to be interfund transferring $1.5 billion? Is that a good thing to be doing? Or would one not want to be doing that?
Mr. Showalter, Senator, certainly we would not want to be doing that. Ideally, we would have...
I just didn't want to lose kind of the big picture here. We've gotten so used to this now that I think we've forgotten that this is not a good situation.
Mr. Showalter.
Mr. Chair, yes, I think the overall picture, the cyclicality of the general fund ups and downs throughout the course of the year are normal. What is happening, though, is our overall balances are getting drawn down so much that it's being exposed.
Chairman. Senator Metzen.
maybe it apparently doesn't apply to this. We have what they call a prop payment on the books in our state, and but you got this delay of corporate sales tax refunds, and obviously that's not prompt pay, but it does not include this area of legislation.
Mr. Chair, Senator, that's correct. There's a specific statutes that govern the timing of those refunds, payments, and that's more specific than the prompt payment, which is really, I think, targeted toward the vendors, organizations, individuals that are doing business with the state. And so there's sort of two separate categories of payments.
But, Mr. Chairman, it's prompt Senator pay in some areas, but not here. Okay.
Senator Pocomelli.
If you could, you probably don't have it right now, but I'd like some information on January 1992, or 2002, pardon me.
Better.
How much interfund borrowing and delayed payments were taking place? January 1st, 2002.
That's going to be in swap.
Yeah, off the top of my head. Mr. Chair, Senator, we will do what we can. So you know that is the previous accounting system to the one that we're currently running, so we'll see what data we can get.
Okay.
When maps converted in 2002. You went tonight. It wasn't. I take that back. Excuse me.
You think we were doing this much interfund borrowing?
In 2002? I doubt it, but we can get that information. That's available.
Okay, we'll just have you continue then. I don't think there's any further questions at this point with chart one.
Very good. The committee then on page two. You see a couple of slides here. The first one just provides a little bit of information about how the picture has changed since the last time we talked to you. At that point in time, we were anticipating very low points coming in this spring. We are still anticipating some very low points or experiencing some of them, but nonetheless, our balances overall are healthier than we would have anticipated. And there's a number of different factors that go into that. They include an improvement in the forecast picture, some K-12 payment changes. Basically, the timing of some of those K-12 payments are picked up in this forecast. There's administrative actions that were taken in order to improve our overall balance. And then also some of the other statutory general funds are running a little bit higher in their cash balances than previously anticipated. So those factors all have improved the cash outlook in the very short term and are factored into the numbers that you are about to see on the bottom part of the page. Where you see here on the bottom part is a similar presentation that you've seen before. The line going from the top is the high point in the given month. The bottom of the bar is the low point.
Before you get to that one, I have a question. What's the difference between, in chart three, delay $422 million in the school district payments, and then on the first chart we reference, when I asked for the breakout, $337.
Mr. Chairman, members, the 337 was the school aid payments delayed to date for March, middle of March and the end of March. There is one more school payment delay that will occur. About $83 million will be delayed from the payment going out this week to school districts. And so it's the sum of what's already been withheld plus the payment delay.
Okay, so I understand that. So there's one more to be delayed.
That's
okay,
correct.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Solberg.
On chart three, your forecast for statutory fund low point of you have an increase of $200 million in the statutory funds. Is that reflected in your inner fund borrowing?
Mr. Chairman, no. This is the forecast moving forward for the balance of FY10 and FY11, and the improvement in the statutory and proprietary funds is the forecast improvement. So the simple answer is no, that's not included in interfund borrowing, but is reflected in the forecast low points going forward.
And, Mr. Chair, can you give us some kind of a breakdown? That's a fairly large number in a few months for the other funds.
Mr. Chairman, members, yes, we can do that. There are two components to that. There are the special revenue funds, like the 200 fund in that grouping, and then there are the enterprise funds, MNSCU. This is not an overall improvement in the expected ending balances. Rather, it's an improvement in the low point during the month. And so it's not that there is a lot more cash available. It's just that the forecast for revenues and spending and the low point that occurs during the month has improved and is reflected on these charts. But we will get you additional information, and I think legislative staff already does have that on those two separate components.
Representative Solberg, is
that? That's it. Well, that'd be interesting.
Okay, why don't you continue then?
Very good. Mr. Chair, members, then on the bottom of page 2, you'll just see a graphic that's familiar as I was explaining the format of it. Just the vertical line shows the high and the low point. The hash mark shows the ending balance in that month. And this is really looking at fiscal year 2010. As you go through this, you'll see a shape that's familiar repeated in prior years, where the balance starts to drop down early in the fiscal year as local aid payments and K-12 payments go out. The balances start to rebound mid-January after we've also made our payments to the debt service fund, and then start to drop down again in early spring as payments and refunds in particular start to go back out the door, finally rebounding later in the fiscal year as income tax revenues come in, statewide general fund property taxes come in, and the June accelerated sales tax comes in. So that curve is higher. The low points are now down at around $1 billion for the entire statutory general fund during that period. And that is sort of the picture that we are projecting right now prior to additional actions.
No questions at this point, apparently.
Very good. Just so you understand the context of where we had been looking for fiscal 10, we included a graphic that we'd shown you earlier on page 3. That shows the balances dropping down to about zero by April. The change, again, is related to some of the administrative actions that were taken, delaying in some of the school payments, some of the forecast improvements that we mentioned on the top of page 2.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Paul Miller.
Chairman, we're looking at these and we're a little confused. The fourth graph is the 2009 November forecast. Correct?
Correct.
So it is forecasted in July, August, September, October, November already passed when that forecast is done. If you then go back to chart 3, the high and the low points are different in the February forecast. How does that happen for those same months? When the November forecast, chart 4, is done, mm-hmm. We are in November 09. Now in February, if you look at those same months, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, July through November,
yep, I see what you're talking
the high about. And low points are different. How does that happen? How does that change?
Mr. Chair,
Showalter.
Senator, excellent question. I'm not sure if we have an answer for you immediately. It's an excellent question.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, Senator, I'll have to go back and take a look at that.
Could you?
They should be identical. No, there is a small change of scale here, but that doesn't account for it.
Looks like some of your folks are huddling, so maybe we can revert back to that if you have an answer yet.
My guess is the person who needs to huddle on this is not back there.
Oh, okay. I just noticed some standing there, so
get back to
I thought maybe they were going to send you up some information. Okay, if you want to continue.
Continuing on then, the bottom of page 3, you'll see the just focusing in on just the general fund itself. So far we've been talking about the statutory general fund, but as we mentioned before, it's borrowed about $1.05 billion from other funds. It has $400 million in payment delays that need to be paid back. And so this bottom graphic just gives you a little bit notion of where we anticipate the general fund itself traveling during the remainder of this fiscal year. Starting in early April, you'll see some major events happening with the income tax payments coming in, starting to improve our cash balances. But then as we start to pay back school districts, the University of Minnesota in May, you'll see that that balance starts to drop precipitously, back down to close to zero. The balance will start to draw back up slowly through the remaining months, but even as that balance starts to get reestablished, we will be paying back other funds. So that balance really never starts to go back much higher because we are paying back those other funds and getting back to so that the $1.05 billion is returned to the other funds by the end of the fiscal year. Finally, you see some of the major revenues coming in the waning days of the fiscal year and ending up with a cash balance of around $500 million.
Now, will there be any, when you reference the income tax payments coming in, earlier you had referenced that sales and corporate taxes were being delayed up to 90 days. Are you going to be continuing to process the individual income tax refunds as you've done in the past, meaning prompt refunds?
Mr. Chair, yes. Yes, they've been going out very fast, yes.
Very fast, meaning we're not dealing 90 days. We're dealing something.
Mr. Chair, there has been no barrier
change.
No change.
Okay, thank you. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. Chairman, what's the chart for July, August? That same chart. Where's that chart for July, August, September, October, November, December?
Mr. Chair, Senator, we didn't prepare that chart for the general fund, but your question on fiscal 11 is exactly where we're going to go, and it certainly is much worse. And
that's
can prepare one on general fund as well.
Okay, but that's a statutory. Why don't you give us the same chart? Okay.
Okay.
I do see the next one with statutory, but I'm curious about this chart for the following months.
Mr. Chair, Senator, if you like this chart, we'd be happy to give you that chart in the general fund as well.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Pogemiller, the purpose of this chart is primarily to highlight that over the next 30 days, there is still considerable risk as we look at final refunds and final payments for income taxes. As you well know, it's not until early May that really we complete the final refunds and final payments. And so that large jump that you see coming in beginning this week and over the next several weeks, there is still considerable risk, forecast risk, in terms of what will come in.
That may not take place.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, that is correct.
That is correct. And Mr. Chair, Senator, if I may add, if you look at where the general fund balances start to get reestablished, it's after June 25th. The number of days, in fact, where we're depending on payments to come in on a timely basis and to reestablish some of those balances is very small. It's a matter of days.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Pogemiller, over you.
Mr. Chair, I'm looking at the chart, and starting on May 28th through June 16th, kind of that low point there, the chart, you're down to, $100 million. That's based on the income coming in, hopefully, in this coming month. That's your big jump. What if what if that doesn't happen to that point? Then these other payments that we've borrowed from have to be paid back, right? Mm-hmm. Including the inter-fund transfers that you had, that they have to be paid back in this fiscal year?
Mr. Bielek.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Solberg, yes. That period there that you see shortly after 618, where above there's a line that says inter-fund borrowing payback, that drop there is really reflecting the payback of the $1 billion we have borrowed from other funds over the course of several days. But it's at that point that the payback is made, and then the jump back up at the end of the year, it reflects the statewide property tax, the transfer of HIF receipts to the general fund, and all of the revenues that come in year end. So it's a very short window there, both in terms of payback and then revenues to bring us to closing
cash balance. Mr. Chair, the June 25th one is a short one, but the low point before that is not real short. That's almost a month or 2-3 weeks anyway. How do you manage that if that goes below zero?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Silberg, if necessary, additional interfund borrowing.
From any of
the other funds that are available at that point in time. So if you go back to the first page, you will see that there are cash balances in other funds, including Minsky and others.
So, Mr. Chair, does that reflect the forecast back to on the second page, because there's additional funds in those special revenue funds?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Silberg, that is correct.
So does that mean that, well, for example, the school districts, you have to pay them back. Does that mean that some of the others might not be paid back when you say borrow from additional funds? I'm not sure what additional funds at this point, and with all the borrowing from various funds there are that would have dollars available, was anticipating that they would be paid back.
Mr. Chairman, this is a forecast, and as such, what it shows us is that there will be available resources to manage through that period, even though $100 million may be a difficult low point. This does assume, as required by law, that we pay the school districts back fully on May 26th. It does assume that on May 21st that we pay back the University of Minnesota $52 million at that time. And so we have some flexibility in terms of our agreement and withholding with the university. We do have some additional resources and other funds that we could use if the forecast is incorrect.
And you say you have some flexibility with the university. What does that mean for the university then if they're not paid back? What is their cash flow situation if they're anticipating that $52 million and it wouldn't come?
Mr. Chair, the University of Minnesota will be paid back, and it will be paid back on the timeline that you're looking at. I want to just get back to the concept of statutory general fund versus the general fund itself. What we are looking at here was just a graphic of the general fund itself, not the overarching statutory general fund. So if, for instance, this dropped below zero in the general fund, well, it would really mean that there's going to be a slightly more interfund borrowing at that point in time, where we wouldn't be paying back some of those interfund borrowing quite as promptly. And ultimately, it would be within the state's umbrella of funds that we would manage. So under this hypothetical you were talking about, if revenues, say, come in $100 million lower this spring, or refunds go out higher than anticipated, what essentially you would do is shift down the line, you know, from wherever that starts to be realized. Ultimately, we would get there, but we would probably get there a little slower. The ending balance would be lower, and we would end up having a little bit more interfund borrowing that would ultimately be paid back. So that's the scenario that you're talking about, not necessarily the state delaying or being unable to pay back school districts or the University of Minnesota. Two different scenarios.
Mr. Chair, just a point of clarification, oh boy. By June 30th, all those special revenue funds have to be paid back. Is that correct?
Yes.
Senator Palmer.
What if the economy double dips? You made the statement that they will be paid back, these other funds. What if there's no money?
Mr. Chair, Senator, I think that's a good question, and certainly that's why we are continuing to talk about this, to make sure that you're aware of what risks we're managing. Right now, you know, we're collecting income taxes on a year that's already passed. So, you know, the prospect of a double-dip recession is really very germane to 2011. It is not probably so much a risk right now in collections for 2010 or the collections that are coming in right now. Those are economic questions that are still to be unfolded, and the tax liability would be going into the future, not necessarily something we're collecting right now.
Does that give you more comfort?
Mr. Chair, Senator.
This isn't 2011 what we're worried about here?
Well, Mr. Chair, Senator, 3 months ago, if you wind back, we were worried about this spring as well. So I'm happy to be saying right now where the administrative actions seem to be sufficient to get through this spring, that the cash flow picture is in tune for fiscal 10, and now the next up, when we turn the page, will be fiscal 11, and what challenges remain, and they are significant challenges for the next fiscal year.
And, Mr. Chairman, just again, not to put too fine a point on it, but fiscal 10 is pretty much over, May, June, July. So I'm not sure how much comfort it is that we somehow have gotten through July here. Perhaps because we've gotten through July based on estimates that so much is going to come in on these tax forms right now, which may or may not happen. Hopefully it will, but maybe it won't. It does seem like we should be looking out a little further than 3 months.
Mr. Chair, Senator, we have been. We've been trying to make sure that we bring everyone along in terms of the immediate risks, because if we focus on fiscal 11 risks and forget about fiscal 10 risks, well, that doesn't work because we're dealing with cash on a daily basis. And I guess, again, the immediate issue is better that the actions, including the administrative payments that we were in front of this committee not just a couple of months ago, to ask and discuss actions that hadn't been taken before. They seem to be working. We seem to be in better shape. But the next step is fiscal 11. What is the budget solution going to look like? What are the cash flow and the economy going to perform like? And ultimately, how is the state going to manage its daily cash flow through some expected very low points? So why don't we turn to that graphic and take a look.
Before we leave this one, then, you haven't referenced going at all into the marketplace for 10.
Correct.
At one time, we had testimony that that was a possibility. So that may be a possibility when we get to 11, but you don't see that happening in the next couple, 3 months, okay?
Mr. Chair, that is exactly right. We had envisioned that as a possibility,
and
we will not be there.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Pogamiller.
And the budget bill we just passed does not affect the 10 in any fashion? Or did it affect the 10? And does the chart reflect the changes in the budget bill that's been signed?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Pogamiller, no, this is strictly the February forecast. And the budget bill, and you can discuss that separately, would have a small impact on FY10 to the extent that appropriations were reduced in fiscal year 10 and spending would be reduced. I think the estimate there was like $20 million. I think the $20 million impact on FY2010.
And then, Mr. Chairman, so the 11 chart we're now going to talk about does not include the bill that's been passed yet.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, that is correct.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Lencheski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Showalter, just trying to think forward and setting aside for a minute politics, which, of course, is really difficult here, but I guess the way I'm thinking about it is it doesn't really matter who's elected governor in 5 months, whether it's someone who's never going to raise revenue or is going to, whether it's someone who will cut deeply or will not. The question I want to ask you is, what can the legislature do independent of the politics of people's views on budgeting? What can the legislature pass into law to assist with cash flow that would be a benefit to the citizens separate from ideology. And I know that Representative Carlson and I and Representative Solberg are all on a bill that's mostly tax items to deal with short-term cash flow issues. We're going to hear it. I haven't read it all yet, but was that a long-term forward-thinking bill for permanent change, or is that a bill for a short-term problem? And if it's just a short-term bill, whether we pass it or not, can you just help me think through? You know, I'm just trying to look at your charts, and I see sort of a W system where it's kind of, you know, the way the quarterly estimates of tax come in and what happens in June, then you fall off. And even if these numbers were all in the black or in the red, there appears to be a pattern that replicates itself in good times and bad. And it seems to me that a forward-thinking move might be to adjust that pattern. Now, I know it could be really dramatic for local units of government if we started changing when they receive different sorts of payments. But have you given thought to what is the shape that's going on here year after year in good and in bad, and what could you do to smooth that out, setting aside the politics of the situation we're in?
Mr. Showalter.
And Mr. Chair, Representative Lencheski, thank you, and it's a wonderful question. The overall pattern that we've seen this year is similar, if not identical, to what you've seen before. There's a historic mismatch between our payments going out and our revenues coming in. So it's really seeing the balances drop down that has raised this in profile, because that mismatch has always been there. There's a couple things that immediately can be done by the legislature. One is obviously resolve the budget deficit. What you're looking here at is a forecast that includes essentially $1 billion of budget deficit built in. As that deficit is reduced in 10 and 11, the balances here will start to look better. How that is resolved, particularly if it's not done with statutory general funds coming into the general fund, will also, you know, impact and improve this overall balance. Two, as you mentioned, there's some language that would try to look at some of the structural payments and would make some improvement in reducing the low points that you see on a monthly basis. I think you'd still see the W, but you would start to reduce some of the low points. And there's a couple of actions in there. I'll touch on them briefly, but ask Mr. Bielek to go into further detail. In short, one would change sales tax collection date. What happens within a month is that money comes in on the 20th of the month, but we've made many of our payments earlier on the 10th and the 15th of the month. What we would be asking to do is start to collect that sales tax a little bit earlier so that it matches up with the timing of our expenditures closer. On a net basis, it doesn't make any difference. On a budgetary basis, it doesn't make any difference even on an end-of-month basis, but it would mean that the low point in the month would be markedly better. The other part is that it's the property tax revenue that's coming in, basically from counties, is coming into this state twice in a year. That money is going to school districts at one date and comes into the school and to the state at a later date. What we'd be asking is for it to come in at the same time that the school districts are receiving it, because it's already in the hands of the local units of government. What that would do particularly is not help that W again, but it would markedly change what happens in November, December, where we've got a sizable payment going into the debt service fund. It would offset that so that we're not fronting the money to the debt service fund and then getting the cash after the fact. In fact, we'd have the cash prior to moving that in there. And then later in the year would allow us not to be collecting everything in the last week of the fiscal year, where we're collecting a lot of money and then making good to all the interfund borrowing. So those couple of payments are some very immediate actions that could be made. And then there's certainly timing payments more broadly, so that our spending on whether local aids and credits in particular would more match the stream of revenues that the state has. And those have been topics that have been discussed in the past and I think are, you know, worthwhile policy discussions, because underlying our spending isn't matching up with our revenues on a timing basis.
Mr. Bielek. Thank you.
Excellent, Chess. Lencheski, you're done.
Okay.
Why don't we go to 11 then?
Okay. Mr. Chair, members, on page 4 you'll just see a couple of charts on fiscal 11. As with fiscal 10, this picture has changed somewhat. since you have saw this information before, and we'll walk through some of those changes. You'll see that the general fund forecast, some of the changes in payments, and some of the statutory funds all improve the fiscal year 2011 outlook, although these are marked as negatives.
No, they're bracketed. These are all positive impacts from the forecast K-12 changes that roll forward into FY11. So.
The other factors that are here include some cash shortfalls that are without the budget solution. So where I mentioned how you can start to improve some of these numbers is just simply that we have not assumed what the budget solution would look like, what the impact would be, and what the timing of the solution would be.
But, Mr. Chair?
Representative Solberg.
To that point, you do already know at least part of the budget solution. And what is how is that reflected in?
Mr. Chair, Representative Solberg, good question. And the numbers that we have in front of you, excuse me, reflect the February forecast. And they really reflect a daily comparison of expenditures and revenues. And so we have not tried to include a daily estimate of the first phase budget solution in these numbers. We've got some rough impacts of that set of budget changes, and certainly once we have the full budget completed, we'd come back and do a detailed daily balance. The short version is that there will be some improvement from the $300 million of budget solution, but it's not going to certainly be enough to resolve the cash shortfalls that you'll see on the second slide.
Okay, continue.
So looking at the second slide on page 4, what you'll see here is, again, a very steep drop-off starting from our beginning balances, cash balances in July, working through in August and September. That while this picture is improved from the one that we presented to you earlier this winter, it still has a fairly similar shape, wherein early payments to local units of government and initial payments to the school districts start to drop our cash balances pretty precipitously, so that by September, our statutory general fund, which is now at about $1 billion, remind you, as of today, would be down to zero, and then would continue going down, dropping down in balances, so that the low points would be nearly a negative $1 billion in the November-December time frame.
Excuse me, Representative Solberg has a question.
So this chart assumes that in right after you pay back all the special revenue bonds by June 30th, mm-hmm. you will then turn around and borrow them back again in July 1st?
Mr. Chair, Sean. Representative Solberg, not quite that fast, but certainly within...
August 1st?
Yeah, by August you're going to start to see... and Mr. Bielek's got the chart that's in your attachments, and he can walk you through that.
Well, Mr. Chair, by August, then it says you're down to less than $500 million, and that's the statutory general fund. I can't remember exactly how much you borrowed from the statutory one. You borrowed 400 and some from schools. You can't touch that. Is it...
Mr. Chairman, Representative Solberg, in the detail, by the time we get to August of this year, we expect that the general fund will run about a $600 million shortfall in August. And that's money that we would then normally go to the other state funds, whether it's MNSCU or Special Revenue Fund, to borrow. The $600 million forecast for August is certainly within the capabilities of other special revenue funds to cover. For the general fund, that grows to close to $800 million by September. So will we be borrowing from other funds early in the next fiscal year? The answer is yes, as we had to this year.
But, Mr. Chairman, do you anticipate then kind of going back to where you were before? You have a couple of large ones. One of the large ones is MNSCU.
that you borrowed from for the $1 billion. And I, if I recall right, that was available because of tuition payments. It may not be available for them come August, at least the first part of August.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, that is correct. Generally, we are able to borrow at Minsky at some level in August, but until tuition receipts are received in September, generally we limit our borrowing from Minsky. However, the Special Revenue Fund, Healthcare Access Fund, are the two other primary sources that we rely upon to borrow cash.
I'm not sure when we talking about tuition in September. I'm just trying to think of when that tuition actually starts to come in. They don't start until usually after Labor Day or somewhat into September. And then I think students have an opportunity where they don't necessarily have to pay the tuition when they register. I think they get a little time there as well. So I'm just trying to see how all that sorts out even in September when you really take a major dip here.
Mr. Chair, you get a wonderful point, and it gets into the complexity of the cash flows because it's not just the general fund spending revenue mismatch that's going on. It's that other funds are having activity going on at the same time. And so these estimates are trying to knit together all of these different threads that have different activities and different cycles that have been going on through the years, and trying to make sure that we represent those accurately so that we have a statutory general fund picture. This is not an estimate of just the general fund with some static number for all the other funds. This is trying to represent all of those funds and their historic cash flow ups and downs.
Chairman.
Senator Metzen.
How do you get on that low point in November of $800 million borrowing money from all those accounts, and how do you avoid outside borrowing? I mean, it just seems like you can't get there with but using the other funds. And if you get $200-300 million from the colleges, and that low point is $800 million, help me understand how you go from September about even, and then November about $800 million. You can get that amount of money from moving things around?
Mr. Chair, Senator Metzen, certainly not. But as Representative Lanchesky mentioned before, there's a number of things that the legislature can do now that would improve this picture. One is just what is the amount or source of timing of any remaining budget solution. Depending on that, that will improve this figure to some extent. So if it's front-loaded, that would improve it markedly. If it's back-loaded, it would improve it less. But that is one factor. Another is the timing of some of the other payments that we're being asked to look at, in particular the remittance of the statewide property tax. November, December are especially low because we make roughly $500 million payment from the general fund into the debt service fund. That drives the low point here in November and December. If we were able to get roughly $400 million in statewide property tax a couple weeks earlier, that would markedly improve the low point in that month. I'm not telling you these two actions alone get us to zero or into a working balance that we need. There's still the economy or any other kinds of changes that come about, but those are the types of factors that we're looking at and want to make sure you're aware of to start to get into a range where we might be able to work it out, or we need to come back to you and look for short-term borrowing.
Well, that was going to be my next question. It would appear that November, December, January, February, you can just right on through there. At what point do you think you will have to engage in short-term borrowing? And that was one of the reasons that when we were setting the agenda, we thought that Ms. Cardell would be potentially helpful with that, being that she's provided earlier testimony on that question. But what is the likelihood? I would assume it's fairly high.
Mr. Chair, I think
short-term borrowing?
Without any other actions, it is very high. You see these figures here. Without any other actions, we will need to do a short-term borrowing. There is opportunity to take other actions to improve this picture, and depending on what those are, I can give you a much more complete picture of what fiscal 11 is going to look like. Right now, fiscal 11 has deep cash problems, and we're going to need to balance the budget first of all. We're going to see if we can make any kind of changes to balance out our cash flows, and then we're going to have to see what happens with the economy. If it's a double-dip recession, these numbers will be worse. Our receipts will be worse, and they'll be much worse. If the economy starts to recover and we start to get cash in a little bit faster than anticipated, we will start to these numbers will start to look much better.
And I'm having a little trouble when I look at these back-to-back numbers throughout those months, putting together what those various fixes would be able to do when we start talking about $800 million followed by a billion and so on and so forth month after month.
Mr. Chairman, members.
Well, what's the probability of short-term borrowing, I guess, is what I'm asking during that period, because are you – I don't know how close you can come to those kinds of numbers with the so-called fixes that we can provide.
Mr. Chairman, I think it's important to remember that in addition to the impact of whatever the final budget balancing actions will be, we continue to have the administrative tools that we currently have to manage cash. That includes, as we did last October, the delay of sales and corporate refunds, and I think at that time we delayed up to like $150 million. We continue to have some authority to delay school district payments if necessary, and we continue to have the authority to delay some payments to the university and Minsku if necessary. That combination of tools can provide us several hundreds of millions of dollars in terms of management ability to deal with some of these issues before we would have to consider short-term borrowing.
If you went to the school districts again, do you anticipate with these kind of numbers that the formula would be somewhat similar to what you used this last time, where what was it, $700 per student or more?
Mr. Chairman, I think it's fair to say
before they were impacted.
Mr. Chairman, I think it's fair to say we've only had some preliminary, done some preliminary thinking about this. It would be less than we're doing this year, which is $422 million, but it would be reasonable to assume that several hundred millions of dollars, perhaps $300 million, might be a reasonable threshold if it were necessary at the time.
Representative Solberg.
Well, Mr. Chairman, to that point, you borrowed from the school districts on a fairly short-term basis. From a few months before the end of the fiscal year. We're looking at September and October. So that means that, help me understand, wouldn't the school districts move, if you borrowed, let's say, $300 million from them, wouldn't they lose that over that length of time because you need the cash right now? I mean, I'm concentrating on October, November. This is a statutory general fund, which assumes already that you have transferred an awful lot of special revenue fund into that, I assume. And so you're short $800 million or $500 million in October and $800 million in November, and it continues on. Let's assume you do the University of Minnesota, Minsku, and the schools, but that you can probably get up to zero, but not for very long. And this, aren't the schools losing that for a longer period of time?
Mr. Chair, Representative Sean. Solberg, a good point. And that's part of the difficulty. I can hear your frustration looking after our forecast, because this is really not taking into account all of what we're going to be managing through. What is the budget that we're going to be cash flowing? What are the administrative tools that we're going to layer on once we know that picture? That is really what you need for any kind of understanding of how painful or how probable it is that we're going to be able to manage through or need some short-term borrowing. And I can't tell you that.
But Mr. Chair, doesn't these numbers kind of assume that you've done quite a bit of administrative things already within the statutory, because this isn't general fund, this is statutory general fund.
Mr. Chair, Representative Sobert, the fiscal 11 really is not adding in any additional school payment delays or any additional higher education payment delays or corporate refunds.
Mr. Chairman, I understand that, but you still got a big problem. I mean, would it not be a longer period of time for borrowing from the school districts?
Mr. Chair, Representative, yes. Depending on, it will likely be a much longer, and it's a much more persistent cash deficit that we're looking at in fiscal 11 than what we experienced in 10. In part, again, it's the gradual decline in overall balances exposes the low points and that when they happen each month. The shape of the low points isn't all that much different. It's just that fiscal 11 right now, without a budget solution on the table, without knowing exactly what is going to be happening with some of the economic risk that's out there, it certainly looks very, very difficult. I can't tell you exactly what's going on. I'm trying to warn you that we have some issues. We're trying to make sure that everyone understands the situation and the tools that are available. And then once we start to decide whether we've got all the administrative tools or statutory changes that are going to be in place, whether we've got all the budget fixes, all of those things, once we have those all together, I think we'll have a much better understanding of what we'll need to get through 2011.
Chairman. I think when you ask the question about paying back, what at least I'm concerned about here is that we don't have a single month in all of 11 where we don't have a cash flow problem. And so I think that the underlying question that I have is, when you start talking about taking from these various funds and paying back, how you achieve that, because you may end a month with a little closer number, but most of those months we're closing the books at the end of the month in the negative as well, in addition to the dips within a month meeting cash flow. So I'm just wondering how you can pay people back when you're going to come back literally in a few days and need to do it again, apparently.
Yes, and Mr. Chair, if there were no changes, there's no way you can interfund borrow when there's no money in the funds to borrow from. You know, a negative statutory general fund balance can't be solved through interfund borrowing. Cannot. That's why we have to look at all the other tools in order to improve the balance.
And Mr. Chair, if I could just add.
Commissioner?
My takeaway from that chart on the bottom of page 4, it doesn't include the 312 that we just solved. It doesn't include the remaining 536. So as soon as we finish and resolve the remaining 2010 and 11 issues, that will impact. The other thing that will impact that we don't know at this point is revenue collections going forward in the months to come. And then, as Mr. Showalter discussed, we do have the bill before the legislature that helps us resolve, the timing issues. All of that, it is our hope, will give us enough leeway on those numbers to hopefully avoid short-term borrowing. But the risk is still there, and it's the reason why when we last week I suggested that we called the Senator Pogemiller's in your office, Mr. Chairman, to update so we can talk about this and have this in our mind as we finish this legislative session.
And I think, Commissioner Hanson, that's my very point. When you mention or use the word hope and risk, I think that's what we're talking about. There's a lot of risk here. And
there is.
Some concern as to whether or not we'll be able to level things out in a way to meet our cash flow needs. And maybe we'll have Ms. Cardell up in a few moments to see what she thinks about short-term borrowing in the market. But Senator Metzen, I think you were next.
Obviously, when we delay or borrow, if you will, $400 million from the higher education, what do they do? I mean, they need their operating money. They're counting on this money, and if we delay it, do they have to themselves go out and borrow money to make payroll and go on, or how does that work?
Mr. Chair, Senator Metzen, when we got to started working with these cash flow issues last fall, we sat down with and Minsky, and I asked, how much money do you need? Can we do? Should we not go below? And they told us $200 million, that if we left them $200 million, we could utilize the balance above that. We have also had, Mr. Showalter's also met with the U. It has been a cooperative working relationship where we want to make sure they have what they need.
Okay, any other questions?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Solberg.
Each of the funds, and including Minsky and University, we pay interest rate to them, do we not?
Mr. Chair, Representative, the University of Minnesota is outside of the state's accounts, so we don't really pay interest to them. Minsky, we do.
How about special revenue funds when we take from them? Do we do an interest rate on those?
Mr. Chairman, special revenue funds, some of them earn interest, some of them don't.
Okay.
The ones that don't, the interest comes to the general fund. Those that earn interest, we continue to pay interest to them, even though we may borrow their cash.
And just may I ask, Mr. Chair, what is the cost of that right now to the general fund?
Mr. Chairman, it's not reflected as a cost. It's reflected as a reduction in investment earnings to the general fund. That's not a number that I have available.
Well, reduction is a cost.
Yeah.
I mean, somewhere in the, you sound like my checkbook.
Mr. Chairman, because interest rates are fairly low, it's not a substantial number.
All right. Thank you.
I've referenced Ms. Cardell a couple of times. I don't know if we need testimony at this point. Then it appears that that's an open question as to whether we're going to go into the market. I was concerned about the balance of 10, but it looks like there's a high probability that you're going to have to go into short-term borrowing when we get into 11, is the way it would appear. But
Mr. Chairman,
we can have that discussion in the future meeting.
Yes,
Senator Benson.
It's not. I mentioned
that before. It's not the interest. The interest rates are real low if we borrow money, but it's the reflection later on with our bond rating and Standard & Poor's and Moody's and that. When they look at you and say, "Here, you're borrowing $500 million or $600 million," it's not a big number for interest on that amount. It's the future borrowing that's going to be. Could be millions of dollars in additional interest on things. So, no, I don't need a response, but I think I brought that up a meeting or two ago.
Unless you know further
just
questions.
One quick thing, Mr. Chairman. We have no plans at this time to short-term borrow. Remember the last time we spoke, we put out an RFP. Assistant Commissioner Cardell is in the process of examining those proposals. And once we clear session, see what happens, we'll probably be back in touch with you when we have better and more definitive 2011 numbers. So we will be in touch with you.
Representative Solberg.
Mr. Chair, Commissioner, did you get any responses to the RFP?
We did. Chair, Representative Solberg, we did, and I'm told because of the process that there's only so many things we can talk about publicly,
okay.
But we can talk about it with you.
Hope we're credit worthy, so we
can. I understand.
If we need it.
Yeah, we'll talk to the banker.
Well, the reason I talk about the short-term borrowing is your comments, Commissioner, about hope and risk, and it sounds as though that is still on the table, potentially, at any rate, depending on the various actions that take place. Senator Metzen.
I
thought I saw somebody over here. Oh, Senator Pullman. Okay, with seeing no further questions, meeting adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
This yours?
Oh, you're pretty. I was going to say something.